Welcome to the Homeschool Show for North Carolinians for Home Education. Our goal is to help you homeschool with confidence and joy. I'm your host, Matthew McDill. It is great to be with you again this week. We've got some important homeschool news coming up. There's some deadlines for our statewide graduation that you're going to want to hear about. And you're also going to find out how to get a free conference registration. In our homeschool conversations, we're going to continue to listen to my conversation with Walt and Sandy Goforth, some pioneers in homeschooling in North Carolina. And for wisdom from the word, we're going to ask an important question. Who do your kids belong to and why does it matter? Finally, with Homeschool Helps with Amanda, she's going to continue her series on different ages and stages of homeschooling. And today she's going to talk about tips for homeschooling elementary school age kids. All right, kicking it off with homeschool news. Every year after the Thrive Conference, we offer a statewide graduation. It's a very exciting and important event. And this is an opportunity for your family to celebrate with us in Winston-Salem at the Benton Convention Center on May the 25th. Now, we have some registration deadlines coming up. On March 7th, the regular pricing for the graduation ends. You can still join the graduation, but after March 7th, the price is going to go up. On March 10th, the deadline to feature your graduate in the Greenhouse magazine ends. So if you'd like to have your student in the graduation Greenhouse magazine, then you need to get that in by March the 10th. On March 31st is the deadline to apply for college scholarships. We offer all sorts of different scholarships for your graduating students. So you want to check that out. If you go to nche.com/graduate-central, you can find out all about those things. You can also buy a diploma for your own graduation if you want to do that. And those are available year round. And speaking of the conference, there is a way that you can get a free conference registration. Here's how you do it. You share the conference with others, let them know about it. And if you get three people to sign up as first-time conference attendees, and they put your name in their registration, then you will get your conference registration for free. So go ahead and tell your friends and family, tell people who haven't been to the conference how great it is, and hopefully you can get yours for free. One last news item is that the Moorhead Planetarium field trip is coming up next week, March the 15th, and that's in Chapel Hill. You can go to nche.com/field trips and find out more about that field trip and see if there's still room in that. All right, moving on now to homeschool conversations. I hope you were able to hear last week about the beginning of the homeschool movement, and especially related to Walt and Sandy Goforth and how they decided to homeschool and how difficult it was. We're going to hear more from them today, and they're going to tell us even more about what happened and how NCHE got started. So let's check this out. Why would you go to so much trouble? What was it for you guys that made it so important that you would go to all that trouble?
Well, one of the things we saw when Jessica was in the church school that we put her in for, was that kindergarten or something?
That was public.
Oh, anyway, she started coming home with words that we don't say in our house, and coming home doing little dances and twerking around in the house. And we're going, where'd you get this? And she said, it's school. I heard so-and-so say it or what. And I thought, I don't like this. You know, I think the kids would be better off at home. And
well, also, we found a community.
Yeah, we did.
And we were really considered kind of we had to tell our doctors. It took a lot of courage. And without that community, I don't know that I would have been able to do it. It was so rare at that time. But because we had a small community that we all supported each other, we were able to just do the next thing and the next thing and press on.
Matt, I don't know if you know how hard it was during that time. Somebody may have already said, but nobody would tell you they homeschool. It was illegal. So you couldn't get people to let you know. It's an underground kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was for years. Nobody wanted to be on any list. They didn't want, they'd come to NCHE even after we had it going, but they didn't want to be, put their name down or anything like that. It was very dangerous.
No.
It was an odd time.
So tell me about your involvement with NCHE and any of your memories of how NCHE got started.
I have this memory of them walking up to us outside the church where we met. We had a small NCHE conference. Very few families. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe 30 couples. And I'm not sure if their kids were there or if everybody found places to put their kids, but they were moving. This couple that were the president were moving. And they couldn't find anybody to take their place. And they saw us sitting outside, brought us the homeschool sign, and they put it down beside us. And they said, "Tag, you're it."
That's literally how it happened. So do you remember, do you have any other early memories of your own experience or NCHE or maybe any of those early conferences?
They kept getting bigger.
Yeah.
Grew really fast during that time.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of visits by the Moores and,
yeah, Raymond Moore, you're familiar with that name, I'm sure. He and his wife came down. I think I might have been president or one of the offices. I had several different offices over the years. But he came down and spoke from, he's in Ohio, I believe. But anyway, he came a long ways to do it. Now, he was a school superintendent for several schools. And he just came to realize this is not the right way. And they wrote a book, didn't they? And you got it. I know we had Jerry Lucas speak. Who, you probably don't know who that is, but he was an unbelievable basketball player in the pros. And he came down and spoke with us. And that was a good, interesting time. I got to take him around to where he's going to speak and everything. So I got to talk to him first. That was fun.
But, yeah, that's neat.
But he really believed in what we're doing, too.
One last question is what would you say to the young parents who are homeschooling now? As you look back on your experience, what kind of encouragement or thoughts would you give to them?
Well, I'd say one thing, to do it right is hard, but it doesn't take as much time as it does in schools because they have so many things they have to do. You can really shorten actual school hours, but it's not easy. It was tough. And they need to understand that going in because they just think they can sit around and the kids will do all their work. That didn't work for us. And I think it won't work for many, but it may.
It was really challenging for me. And I would say it's not for the faint of heart, but when there's partnership between the parents and the children in the project of what does it look like to have a good education? It'll work. It'll work fantastic. It's just it demands a really smooth partnership between the mom and the dad and the kids.
Well, another thing I think is really important is that you have other people around you that homeschool that you can communicate with regularly. And I would suggest be a member of NCHE and go to the conference every year because you learn and learn and learn. There's no end to learning. I don't care what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And we enjoyed the conferences. We learned a lot every time we went. So I think that's high on the, I'd put it high on the list of you got to have communication with people and you sure meet them there.
That's great. Yeah. That's what hooked us in. As I said, we started going to that conference and we just never quit going because it was so fantastic.
That's one of those, this is it things that we've got what we need right here. Yeah.
Okay, now it's time for some wisdom from the Word. We're going to tackle a big question today, and that is, who do your children belong to? That's a pretty hot cultural and political question right now, because in the public school arena, for example, or in the context of how many people view government, some people think that the government is primarily responsible for educating your kids. A lot of people, like us, think that parents are primarily responsible for educating your kids. What about making medical decisions? That's another really big topic that's going on right now. Who gets to make those decisions? The reality is, kids are not wise enough or capable enough to take care of themselves. Someone has to take care of them. And so until they get older, they really can't simply belong to themselves. Someone has to care for them and guide them. Who do they belong to? And the way that we think about who they belong to is going to affect how we interact with our kids and with the world. Now, I was thinking about this topic as I was reading from 1 Samuel. In chapters 1 and 2, it's telling the story of how Samuel was born and how he became a servant in the temple. And so what happened was his mother Hannah was barren. She was not able to have children, right? And so when she went to Jerusalem to worship, she was praying and crying out to God that he would give her a child. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." So that was her commitment. And the Lord answered her prayer. And so later on, she uses this language to say something similar. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." Now, at a very basic level, I think it's common sense, and it's also affirmed in this scripture and throughout scripture, that children are given to parents, and that parents then have the responsibility to care for them and decide what's going to happen to them as children. So, of course, we would affirm, as we always do from this perspective, is that parents have the primary responsibility and authority to raise their kids. Now, we want to take that to another level, though, as Christians, right? Who do the children really belong to? Now, this was kind of a special case because she brought and left her son, a young boy, at the temple with the priest Eli. Now, I don't think my pastor at my church really wants me to drop all my kids off there so that they can serve and work there. My pastor already has his own kids. And so there's something else we can take away here. And we see this in other places in scripture too. And that is, we can consider our children as gifts from God that we give back to him. Here's the reality. We know that God created them, that God loves them, that he has a plan for them, that he wants to save them. We know that everything is actually under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And this doesn't just apply to my children. If I'm a follower of Christ, then everything I have belongs to Christ. My home, my marriage, my stuff, my money, it all belongs to Christ, including my children. So how does that change my attitude? How does that change the way I think about my children? Well, pretty drastically, because this isn't about me. It's not even about them. It's about the Lord. It's about serving him. It's about how do I bring my children into that place where they will submit their lives in faith to Jesus Christ and follow him and build his kingdom. And that's what my goal is. And so I'm thinking about working everything that I'm doing for that goal. And it's a really big deal that I don't get to just decide by myself, what do I want to do with my kids? How should I direct my kids? I am seeking the Lord because they belong to him. And he's the one who's gifted them. He's the one who designed them. He's the one who wants them to love him and know him. And that's the ultimate thing. And so I'm praying, I'm thinking about them in the context of their relationship with God and how to bring them to Him. So it's certainly not the public or the government or the community, other people who are supposed to be making those decisions. We are. But more importantly, our authority and responsibility is submitted to the Lordship of Christ. And while we're not in a situation like Hannah is, I think that it's the same principle and the same language that we would say, Lord, we give our children to you. They're for you, and they're going to serve you, and we're going to make our decisions based on that.
Welcome to Homeschool Helps with Amanda. I'm Amanda Wares, Homeschool Helps Director with NCHE. So this time we are going to talk about my best tips for homeschooling elementary age kids. So elementary age is probably my favorite. Although I kind of like all the ages, there's different pros and cons to every age, but elementary, it is so much fun to homeschool that age. One, because they're still young enough to be really open and not possibly have discovered that certain things are not cool, or you know what I mean? So my first best tip for elementary homeschooling is hands-on. As hands-on as possible. If there is a way that you can make something, make a lesson hands-on, do it. And it makes everything more fun. It makes it easier to actually learn. It cements that information in their brain. I continue the exact same recommendations that I had for preschool age, I think are also important for elementary age. Read, 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 read aloud to them. I recommend reading aloud to every age, but oh, it's so important in preschool and elementary school. So read aloud as much as you possibly can. Do not succumb to the pressure of making formal school, of starting it too early, of making the lessons too long, of depending too heavily on either bookwork or online resources. I personally don't think, especially for elementary age, I don't think there's a lot to be gained from using all online resources. I really don't. I think the negative effects of spending one's entire school experience online far outweigh the ease and independence of it. You know, the pros, the reasons why people go with that. I could spend a long time talking about that. Maybe we'll do another segment about that. But so I recommend hands-on, 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 read, 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 and don't succumb to that pressure of making school too long. Don't feel like you need to recreate brick and mortar school. Don't feel like you need to recreate a classroom experience for your elementary school kids, or for any age for that matter, but we're talking about elementary today. Field trips are so important and valuable, and they can learn so much from a field trip. Do not minimize the value of a good field trip. And you would be surprised all the places that will do a tour for you, or come and join one of NCHE's field trips. We do a lot of field trips every year that are wonderful and not super expensive. There's places you can go to do field trips for free that are wonderful. So I recommend look into that. If you can tie in a field trip to what you're learning, that is icing on the cake, bonus, amazing. And then the last thing I would say about this elementary age is just enjoy it. Savor it. Don't take on too much in your own self. Don't pressure your own self as the teacher. Again, your children are learning all the time. You would have to work hard to stop them from learning, especially at this younger age. So provide them opportunities. Set the buffet of learning opportunities and let them go. You know, I did with all four of mine in the elementary years. We did have some structured school lessons, certainly. Most of those were very literature-based. We did a lot of reading. We did a lot of hands-on science experiments, projects related to history. We did a lot of field trips. But I think they maybe learned as much or more from just experiencing life, from, you know, living in our family, going on errands, doing things outside of that formal structured school time. So maybe get out of your own way a little bit, take the pressure off of yourself and exhale, breathe, relax. They will be fine. They will learn. And if you, like I was, when we first started homeschooling, we pulled someone out. We pulled our oldest daughter out of school to start homeschooling in fourth grade. So she had been to school for 4 years before that. And there is a definite need to get that brick and mortar school mindset out of your head and out of their head. And with each child, I found myself getting further and further away from that and feeling like, oh, I know it's going to be okay. They're going to learn. And yes, we did structured school, even with the fourth one, even with the baby. But I felt more relaxed. I felt more at peace knowing, yes, they're going to learn. It's going to be fine. So I really hope this helps today. Tune in next time for my best tips on homeschooling middle school.
Well, we're so grateful that you joined us again this week. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to discuss, you can send us an email at thehomeschoolshow@nchg.com. If you know others who would appreciate this content and be encouraged by that, please share it with them. And until next week, continue to homeschool with confidence and joy.